at Arrowhead, we know half of Lincoln is driving down to Kansas City as we speak. Shout out to Nebraska fans out there driving down I-29. That's what's going to happen tonight. But Cincinnati just took it for the check.
Yeah.
They gave up a home game to play in Kansas City.
Yeah, it's not great, especially against a team that will travel better.
And
than
it
Kansas
is going
City.
To be a really good atmosphere, I think, tonight.
Yeah, I do too. We'll talk more about that game in a little bit.
Well, that's like Mike Brown, who is the Syracuse head coach. They were talking about how he thought maybe his team would get overwhelmed because they're playing Tennessee this weekend. He goes, well, they're all going to be wearing orange, so they'll just think everyone's cheering for them.
That's not how it works. People also boo cheer louder.
When Cincinnati's offense is on the field, it is going to be extremely loud at Arrowhead with Nebraska fans. So,
I would think so. Speaking of being at home, the Royals will be back at home starting on Friday. They get a 3-game set against Detroit. Obviously, every single game matters at this point. I don't necessarily need to point it out. It was nice for a couple of reasons last night. First, just nice to have a good, relaxing ass kicking, right? No pressure, no worries. The second Vinny added on 2 more RBI in a game it already felt like they were winning, that game was done. Bobby came through, Vinny came through, game felt good, in hand, done. But one of the biggest takeaways from that game is, and it didn't stop other teams, so it probably won't mean anything. If I were a team right now, old J.J. Piccolo rung up the phone, you know, called him up and he's like, hey, I was thinking about making a trade. How do you feel about this guy in AAA? His name's Ryan Berger. We're interested in him. I'd almost hang up the phone if the Royals are calling about my pitchers right now, because either they're doing something development-wise that is better than you, or they got a better eye for your own talent than you do. They've been robbing teams now for 2 straight years. I understand Falter hasn't been good. Almost every other pitcher they so far have traded for in either the bullpen or the starting pitching or in free agency. It's all hits. It's just hit after hit. Like, Ryan Berger was great again last night.
And first time he got the win, finally, for the first time as a Royal as well. He got through 6 innings. He looks really sharp. We asked J.J. Piccolo yesterday about Berger, and I was like, did you tweak a thing or two? He's like, no, we really haven't had any tweaks since he came over. But, you know, crazy. Brian Sweeney's been working with that's who, like, there's a lot of people that deserve credit.
Oh, he's a whisperer.
Brian Sweeney, we've said it a few times. They have to make sure. It is, honestly, there's a lot of things they got to accomplish this offseason. Figuring out the outfield is obviously at the top of the list. But right after that, Brian Sweeney is the 1B. You have to, I don't know what he makes, okay? I really don't. Whatever it is, you better give
million,
him
a million, probably. Million? I don't know.
I don't know if it's that or not. It should be. It should be, because somebody else is willing to pay him. If they're not, somebody else will snipe him away from this organization. He has been too damn good with their pitching talent, and I'm with you. We've said for 2 years now, there's a lot of criticisms you can have about a front office in baseball, and this one, the one thing they have absolutely crushed at a higher rate than most teams, doesn't mean they're perfect, but at a higher rate, that is evaluating other teams' big league pitching and saying, whoa, we think we have something here. We know the obvious example was Cole Reagans with the Chapman trade. That's the one we all cite. But I think you're right. Berger looks like he could be another one of these guys. Urseg, not that the A's didn't think he was a good pitcher, but still, Urseg is another player that they evaluated. I'll even go to free agency. When they signed Seth Lugo a couple years ago, Michael Walker was established. They kind of knew what they were getting. Carlos Estevez, he's done stuff in the league before, but still, they thought there was something there. Carlos might end up finishing with the most saves in baseball this year for a team that's not going to win 90. And he's going to have the most saves in baseball? That's pretty impressive.
No, it's very impressive. It's to this point, it is J.J. Piccolo's calling card. If you said, what has made J.J. Piccolo an effective GM? I'd be like, he's evaluating pitching from all angles. But specifically, he's stealing from other teams, which is the most appealing part. Ryan Berger was a 25-year-old rookie. He was not a heralded guy coming through the Padres system. He had made it to the big leagues. He had made a handful of starts for them, all of 7. And in those 7 starts, looked pretty good. And so, but the Padres were willing to part for him for something else they needed instead in Freddie Freeman. They traded their backup catcher for a guy actively starting in their rotation in the middle of a playoff run. Their backup catcher. And look, I'm not saying the Padres are like, what did you do to us? Freddie Freeman's been a nice player for them. He got a game-winning hit for them. He has helped them win some games. He is significantly better and has been significantly better than anybody they have rolled out at catcher this year. But that, come on. Backup catcher for a starting quality major league pitcher, that's robbery. Cole Reagans for 3 months of Aroldis Chapman, that was robbery. getting Seth Lugo for the price they got him for the first time when he was available to any team in the league. They have done a better job than most in that regard.